KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akkwan. The Tlinédi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. The tidelands where our studios sit are now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots, but they were once an embarking point for fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, as well as a place where children played on the beaches and learned to row in the harbor. In sharing this history, KTOO hopes to honor the ancestors and the descendants of the Akkwan. We recognize those families who have never relinquished their ownership and stewardship of their land and waterways and continue to cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront for today and for future generations. We'd also like to take a moment to say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gunash Cheesh to Vera Starbird, who planted the idea of making it super place specific and guided us on pronunciation. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave additional ideas, and Ernestine Hayes, Bob Sam, and Fran Houston, who gave important feedback. We are grateful to all those offering guidance as we grow as an organization. So you're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and our next guest is a musician and a composer who will be performing in the upcoming Rock Ock Indigenous Music Festival. Welcome back to the show, Ed Littlefield.
Gunal Cheesh. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Ed Littlefield, and also known as Shakindustu, Wasayeti. Well, many of our listeners know you well, but for those who don't, would you please introduce yourself?
Shakindustu, Chetduasak, Kagwantan, Ayachet, Lutnachadi, Yedi, Chetsiti, Kagwantan, Dutch Hunk. My names are Ed Littlefield and Shak Kindus II, born and raised in Sitka. I'm a percussionist that plays with my native jazz trio, native jazz quartet, and native jazz duo, a couple different versions of that. And playing music around the country, around the world.
I would also like to remind our listeners that you composed our new KTOO audio logo that you can hear on all three of our stations as part of the station identification. Here's a little bit of that right now. Yeah. We love that. I love it. We've got several different versions, and we've got it on all three stations. So thank you, Gunas Cheesh, for those tunes.
Gunas Cheesh, yeah, that was a really fun project. Lots to work on there. You know, it went through lots of different variations, but I think we got somewhere that everybody's happy with, and hopefully people in Juneau and anywhere in that's listening to this station and the partner stations are singing that melody.
Yes, I hope they hear it and think of both us and you.
There we go.
So, Ed, how's it been for you since we hunkered down in 2020? Are you still finding opportunities to write and perform music?
Yeah, it's just like everybody else. Most other people, it's been pretty tough artistically. But I've found a couple people to play music with online, which has been kind of fascinating. You know, we lay down tracks and I put the drum tracks on or overdub, as well as working with Perseverance Theater a bunch. So I've written a bunch of new music and done sound design for three new plays over the last year and a half, which is pretty cool. So yeah, we're getting there, crossing our fingers, getting back to doing more in-person playing with human beings. That's great.
That's right. And you're here to talk about performing in Rock Ock. But before we talk about the upcoming music festival, I would like to ask how your opera is going. Can we check in on that?
Let's check in with that. Well, yeah. So the Tlingit Opera Project is a three-year project, by the way. So we are in the definite infancy. And Vera Starbard is the librettist, and I will be the composer for that. We had a great workshop earlier on over Zoom, unbelievably, that we recorded about 20 minutes of music that I wrote for that. And the cool thing is that I didn't orchestrate it yet. We don't know what the orchestra is going to be like. We actually don't even know what it's going to sound like. So this project is so huge, and we want to be as respectful as possible with all this, that we're still in the beginning steps. But we are on track to start cranking out some things every month for the next 8 months, and then having a workshop in May of next year.
Oh, that's
to start learning and working on that.
How exciting is that? And I know it'll be worth the wait, because, you know, these good things take time.
Yeah. And we're, you know, during this journey is like, we're trying to figure out what a Tlingit opera is, because, you know, what is opera? It's music set, or text set to music with, you know, background and all this set design. You know, what does this world look like? And yeah, it's really amazing chance to get to talk to people about how to create the world's first Tlingit opera.
It'll be one of a kind. Well, we will check in with you again next time we talk and hear how that's going, or with Vera if we talk with her in the meantime. But for now, you'll be a part of Rock Auk, the inaugural Indigenous Music Festival, taking place here on Tlingit Ani, November 5th and 6th, and you'll be performing with the Native Jazz Trio. We're big fans of the Native Jazz Trio here at KTOO, have been for a long time. But could you please describe your music for anyone who might not have heard it before?
Right. Well, in about 2009, I was playing jazz drums around, you know, and kind of thinking about what songs we would play, you know, in the groups that I sit in with, and trying to start my own group. And Christian Fabian was a co-founder of that group, the Native Jazz Quartet. And we started with the influence that we would play what we know, like what our nativeness is. And so I was raised Tlingit in Sitka, you know, learning the songs and dances, and a great inspiration for me and clan elder for the Kagwantan clan was Charlie Joseph Kathak. And he was also known as the Songbox, and he knew so many songs, and he was able to pass on those songs. But he also gave us these dleguk, which are children's lullabies. And since they weren't owned by any clan, I was able to use those and kind of give a different take on them. So using the jazz background, but also being totally honorable for the melody, I was able to create a Tlingit jazz album. And if you were to take away the extra bass, drums, piano vibes, you would just get a melody that is thousands of years old. It is based on exactly the same melody. And I really, in my work, I try to, if I use a melody that's ancient like that, I try to keep that melody exactly the way it was written, because it was written for a specific purpose. And I'd like to honor that. I've also been writing, so that's the group. So I'm Tlingit, and I'm using Tlingit melodies to inform the jazz playing that I do. Another person that's coming up for the concert is Ruel Lubog, and he's Filipino, and his parents moved here before he was born. So he was born in the United States, and he doesn't necessarily know, like, he wasn't raised on the Filipino songs, but he heard them from his parents. Like, they weren't, like, ingrained, but that was his parents would occasionally sing something, you know, and he like, oh, yeah, I remember that from years ago. So we have a couple Filipino tunes that we use, melodies that we use for jazz. And then Christian Fabian, who unfortunately can't come up this time, but he is a first-generation immigrant, and he uses, you know, 200-year-old melodies that his great-great-great-grandfather wrote or something like that, you know, like ancient melodies that we turn into jazz. And then our final member of the quartet version is Jason Marsalis, and he is African-American, and he used the Creole New Orleans kind of first, the mixing of French and jazz music as his inspiration for that. So we're trying to take who we are as our backgrounds and give that material up for interpretation through the art form of jazz.
Wow. What a one-of-a-kind style of jazz. I love it. Let's listen to a little bit right now. There's a song that we can play to give our audience a little bit of sample of what they might hear if they listen to the Native Jazz Trio or tune in to your concert for the Rock Ock Festival. Would you like to set this one up?
Yeah, so this is Chach Ucha Shadki, and this is one song that I learned as a kid. And we actually, it's so old that the translation wasn't complete. And so we had to go and ask Ethel McKinnon Dastia, who was Charlie Joseph, or is Charlie Joseph's daughter. And so we kind of worked it out. And, you know, 25 years later, we kind of figured out what it means. But birds are finches. A flock of finches are flying overhead. And they're flying over a woman named Yekushi Ta. And the feathers are falling softly on her. Mm. So I like to take that and as an opening song and kind of welcome in the audience with that song, song.
Let's listen now.
Chachlucha shatki kaudli yicha hede sas yekushitla yekushitla du khwatli kadach aya he hi ina hi ina Chachlucha shatki chachlucha shatki kaudli yicha hede sas yekushitla yekushitla du khwatli kadach aya he hi ina
That's really cool. Is that you singing the vocals there?
That is me, yep.
Well, what does it mean to you and your group to perform in Rock Ock?
Oh, this is amazing. I, looking through that lineup, look up rockockfestival.com. Check it out right now. Like, as you're listening, go to the internet and check it out. There are some of my favorite artists on this group, on this list. And I want to talk about Superman, who is going to do a virtual part of this because of travel restrictions and things like that. I've been listening to Superman for like 4.5 years now, and his songs are poignant. They're meaningful. They talk about, there's a song called Treaties. You should check him out. Treaties. It's just amazing material. And so to have a venue, a festival dedicated to bringing in, you know, these amazing artists from around the country, around internationally, right? And to come in and perform all in one place, that's amazing. And it gives a little importance to the Tlingit people, Native community in Juneau and in Southeast Alaska and in Alaska. It's like, hey, it's okay to play, or we want you to come into our town and play. And there are very few places around the world that will say that for a festival like this, an indigenous festival. But then there's also like my friend Yatsin, Nick Galanin, who is, you know, same age as me. We went to school together, and his dad was friends with my dad. And then to see he's on the billing with me, that's amazing. So it's like his work. I played a couple tracks for him for his couple records that he's done, a few records. And so it's great to have people that are from afar and from right next door. Like I've heard Nicole Church sing a couple times, and, you know, she's going to be on that. It's going to be great. So and then you get Bamiwa. I mean, no words can explain that amazingness. It's just what a fun band. Speaking of their records, Bamiwa has done something with their Side A, Side B record that is unbelievable. Check it out if you haven't done it. They do a Side A, which is pretty much the original kind of the traditional recording, and then they do their reinterpretation on the Side B. It's amazing what they do with that. So having this festival here means a lot. And having it in Juneau, having it in Tlingit Ani is also very important to me as well.
Have you been a part of anything like this before? A music festival of this kind or an event of this kind?
Yeah, I've done with the group and individually, I've done many jazz festivals and, international festivals and things to that like. But to have it all indigenous works is very special and very unique. and that's something you don't find in many places. So with that said, I do think the festival atmosphere is super exciting, and then to add an indigenous element to that, so it's throughout, will be just amazing. So as a new, you know, forward way of doing festivals, music festivals.
Yeah, and Rock Auk is going to be a biennial event. So while we, so maybe by the next one, it really will be more like a real in-person festival with all of the fun elements that go along with the live music.
Oh, man. I was just talking to Kwachung, Stephen Blanchett, and today, actually, he's like explaining his dream for two years from now. It sounds amazing. Just block party. You know, you got some, you pay for a wristband and you got multiple stages. I mean, that's a festival when you have more than one stage and people can say, oh, I want to check out, you know, half an hour of this person and then go half an hour of the next person. And then I'm going to go listen to the main event at the main stage. Oh, so much fun. If you've never been to a music festival, that's what makes it exciting, because you can sit and watch for a little bit and just watch one stage, or you can go bop around and go to two or three different stages during the day.
Yeah. Well, what will you and the trio be performing in your set for Rock Auk?
Yeah, we're going to do some obviously Native Jazz Trio arrangements. But yeah, I'm going to mostly feature the Tlingit melodies and arrangements I've done. I've written two more songs that have never been performed live before. So I wrote them in the pandemic, and they were recorded, you know, via Zoom or online. I would send the tracks online. And then, so there'll be two brand new works that we haven't played. But also, I think I want to get in Ruel's Filipino background in that, because there is a, you know, Filipino population in Juneau and Sitka, where I'm from. You know, I have a lot of friends that are Filipino in that area, so it's kind of, it would be very cool to share those songs as well. But focusing on the Tlingit material for this show.
All right. Well, from what I understand, many of the bands will be performing live here in town, but the concert itself will be filmed and streamed online. So is that the case for you and the trio?
Yeah, this is going to be amazing. Again, he was talking through, Stephen was talking about that to me today. It's going to be fascinating, and I hope this is okay to share with everybody, but we are recording live sets during the day in the morning, and then I think the studio is going to put those into a package, and we are literally doing the day of, you will get what we played the day of. That, you know, it'll be fresh and never heard before, just like a real concert. So it's not, it's pre-recorded, but we're going to play it like a show. And the rest of the audience will, that's attending, will be the other bands. So we'll have a little audience participation in there, even though it's not the, you know, unfortunately can't have audience, the rest of the audience. But the bands will, that are coming, will listen and kind of help the other bands that are playing with the energy. Because I think that's the major part that we've been missing. Played a couple streaming gigs and you go shabba-dam, and then silence. And that's like not the best thing to do when you have a live show. So we'll have a little bit of background. It's but yeah, it's going to be intense, amazing, and I just can't wait to hear all the rest of the artists as well.
I'm excited as well. And some of the KTOO crew will be there to run the cameras and all that. So you have a little bit of an audience from them too. I'm sure they'll be very excited. And Littlefield, thanks so much for your time today. I'm really looking forward to seeing your set at the concert, from your Native Jazz Trio to your Tlingit Christmas carols to your Tlingit opera. You're just like such a groundbreaking individual. So it's a real honor to talk to you today.
Goodness, cheese, my pleasure too.
Have a great time at Rock Auk, and we will see you again soon.
All right, likewise. See you again.
I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. Over more than three decades, Discovery Southeast has been known for their outdoor, hands-on science and nature programs for students. Today, my next guests are here to talk about a new forest school program, Hadahini. Joining us from Discovery Southeast are Bess Crandall, program coordinator. Welcome, Bess.
Thanks for having us.
And Kelly Sorensen, education coordinator. Hello, Kelly.
Hi there.
Thanks to both of you for being here to talk about your new program. First of all, where did the name Hadahini come from?
Oh, good question. So a longtime teacher, Hans Chester, who's now currently teaching at the Tlingit Culture and Language School at Harborview, he gifted us this name, which means water all around us, which is pretty appropriate for living here in Juneau.
Definitely. And I understand that the idea for this particular program, this new program, came about out of concern that kiddos haven't had much social interaction during the pandemic. Do you see any changes with kids recently from, you know, as a result of that?
Oh, for sure. You know, Bess and I were just talking about this, and we've been out with groups of school kids, kind of kinder age through fifth grade, as well as this new program, which is just for preschool aged kids. And one thing that's really been neat, especially in the preschool aged group, is, you know, there's this group of kids that hasn't really had a lot of social interaction with other kids and even just hearing from other adults. And so, you know, we've seen them out there in the forest and they just gravitate toward each other. You know, they just find a way to sort of be curious and explore. And, you know, we're finding that giving them the space to do that is we're actually doing a lot less structure than we usually do because they are just so excited to be with one another and to kind of follow their own curiosities. And that's been leading to some really cool explorations.
Bess, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I would agree that I think we're noticing because of the pandemic. Yeah, the kids are just really excited to be doing anything outside of kind of their normal routine. So when we go in and take kids on field trips, that's an exciting part of their day, and they're naturally engaged, and we've just been trying to lead them into having some fun experiences out there. Kylie and I were also talking about, we've also noticed, this is kind of just a funny thing that we've noticed because of the pandemic, is that kids just talk a lot more than I think they used to. And they talk over each other. And so I think we've also been having to do a lot more about teaching kids how to listen to each other and to take turns speaking. I think they all have so much they want to share about their experiences. And I think that has been an interesting change we've noticed.
And they really find things when they're out there, you know, whether it's a frosty leaf or a little bug or something, and they're so excited to share it with other people.
Yeah, well, I still feel the same way. I guess I'm a big kid. Like, cool spider.
Aren't we all, though?
Yes. Well, what is Hadahini? What do the kids do as part of this forest school?
Yeah, so it's a three-day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. For 2 hours, they go out. And it's a full forest school model, which basically means that they're spending all of their time outside. And so they spend the full 2 hours outside together. And it's for children aged 3 to 6. So we do have some kinders that are in there too. And, you know, we do have a general structure for the day where we'll meet at the rocks and we'll sing our welcoming song. And then we go into our walking space and our gathering place and make forest tea every day. And then there's lots of just other things that emerge. You know, as I was saying, it's fun to just watch them kind of see what happens. And then we will also have activities for them. So like last week we started a mud kitchen. And they were adding blueberry leaves to it and highbush cranberries, and it just looks super fun and, of course, delicious. I had to try all of the soups, cakes, and pies that they were making for us. Okay. And yeah, so they spend most of their time outside learning and playing is basically what we're doing. And of course, you know, some of those social emotional lessons happen along the way where we'll be, you know, looking toward a common goal, like hiking to a certain place. There's a big rock on the property that we like to travel to. We make forest tea every day, as I mentioned, and lots of games and playing too.
Where is their outdoor classroom?
It is such a wonderful spot. So this a woman who was one of the first teachers that worked with one of our founders actually donated a piece of land to us. So Judy Meyer was one of the first teachers to work with Nature Studies with Discovery Southeast. And she and her family graciously donated this 2-acre plot of land. It's out in the valley, kind of near the Dredge Lakes area, near Mendenhall River School. And it is just such a magical place. There are little kettle ponds. There's a spruce forest and hemlock trees, blueberry bushes. there's a creek that runs through the center of it. The whole floor is kind of carpeted with moss. There's been so many mushrooms this fall. And then we've seen, you know, there's little spots, like there's this one stump where we're fairly certain there's an otter, an ermine living there. There's deer sign. We see like little beds where the deer have laid down. My daughter found some porcupine poop she was particularly excited about last week. So it's a really special spot that just seems perfect for this age group of kids to be out and exploring.
And Bess, what do you like about the outdoor classroom? What are some of your favorite things to watch them explore and discover?
I love kind of just going a little bit off trail. That's something that we really love to do with classes. So, you know, we'll get them onto a trail near their schools. And I'm thinking about our nature studies programs right now. And then, you know, we just kind of step off the regular trail and get them out into the trees, into the Devil's Club, where they have to kind of, what we call dancing with Devil's Club, where you have to like kind of walk around it gently and try to avoid getting the spikes. I love getting kids to not even have to go that far to feel like they've gone on a real adventure.
Dancing with Devil's Club is such a good phrase. Yeah, go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, that's not my original phrase. I want to say that's a Steve Merleyism, but yeah.
Well, how do you keep the kiddos not only safe from COVID, but from the elements outdoors as well?
Yeah, good question. That one, you know, a lot of it is just preparing properly. The biggest thing that we deal with here is heen, the water. So making sure that they have gear. And so we can be quite strict about making sure that they're prepared to go outside just to make sure that they're safe and comfortable when they're out there. And then we also make sure that we preview every place that we go to. And so we're aware of, you know, what the risks and the hazards are. And we have some really well-qualified people who are just really good at knowing, you know, this is a river that we can stand beside right now, and at certain times of the year we can't. And then knowing that Devil's Club, you know, there's this important part about, I think, with kids is exploring a certain amount of risk so that they can be confident and be able to problem solve when they do get themselves in risky situations, but kind of frame that in a way that we know is safe, that they're not going to get hurt and that there will be an adult close, or they're going to be, you know, walking through that Devil's Club when they're ready to. Also, we're never going to force them to go through anything that they're not ready for.
So from what I understand, each month you start a new session and new kiddos can get registered. And there's you've just opened up registration for the November session. Anything you'd like to share while we're on the air with our listeners about how to register their kiddos if they're interested?
Sure, yeah. Please visit our website, which is discoverysoutheast.org. And there is a link to the program page, and you'll see Hadahimi as our forest preschool program listed on there. And it has a cost associated with it, but we are a member-supported organization, and so a pay-as-you-can is always an option for any of our programs. And so you can pay whatever amount that is right for your family right now for that program. And I guess I would just make sure that they know that November can be kind of a rainy month in Juneau, but it also can be a wonderful time to get outside and to not let the elements deter you, that the kids, we promise that the kids will have fun out there nevertheless.
Bess, you had referenced Nature Studies, a school-based program, which is different from Hadahini. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what's going on with that?
Sure. So Nature Studies is our oldest program. It's been happening since the beginning. So over 30 years now. The program is set up to have three annual field trips for every elementary student. And as of the last 4 years, that's included kinder all the way up to fifth grade. And so we have been doing that already this fall. We've taken tons of classes out on field trips, walking from their school into the nearby forests. And trails that are available. And we're really lucky to be able to continue to do that through the pandemic. I think it's been a pretty tough time for schools and teachers. And I think having this outdoor time, which is a safer way to be with others during COVID, has been really huge. And I think we've really been enjoying getting the kids outside and getting their outdoor classroom time happening. And this fall, actually, we're even offering a double field trip for classrooms who are interested, since we're not going into the classrooms like we used to currently. They can go out twice, which is pretty awesome.
That's great. You guys really do a lot with these after-school programs and the New Forest School, and probably some things we didn't even touch on yet. How do you guys support these programs?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we're a member-supported organization. We also do run the bookstore out at the Mendenhall Glacier, which helps support some of our programs as well. And we've got a list of really gracious and lovely funders on our website. And members regularly can give any amount that they feel is appropriate. And then we also have some programs like our summer camp, which are pay-as-you-can, just like the preschool program. And we currently are having some discovery days, which are programs for children during the school year when they are off of school. So they're outside playing today. And those programs, again, are pay-as-you-can.
What's important about time outdoors for kids?
Oh, gosh. I feel like going back to your original thought of, I think time outdoors is important for everybody. I think that, you know, I really feel it too when I'm having a bad day. If I'll go outside and it just kind of opens up something, and we really see it with kids. You know, there's something about being out there that really opens up this curiosity that they just innately have. And you'll see kids that you wouldn't expect to see really focus on one thing out there, and they'll really get into it. And part of that is that they're able to follow kind of their own curiosity and desires and what they want to learn about, which I think is really neat. And then it also pairs them up, so they'll find peers out there who are interested in the same thing, or maybe two kids that really want to run around and play a game. And so it just kind of allows them to some space where I feel like they can, you know, not only just literally breathe, but like be able to do some things that they have some ownership over. And then, you know, it always feels better to be out in the fresh air, to be moving around. And there's something to be said about that physicality, I think, too, of just, you know, we talk a lot about walking over uneven spaces in the woods and how that's really good for our sense of balance and our muscle development and just like our awareness of ourself in space. You know, in schools, we often have kids line up when they're in the hallways, and we'll notice that they have trouble like just keeping their space bubble without bumping into each other. And then when they get outside, it just no longer becomes a problem, right? If we're just walking in the forest and everybody has their own space to walk, then it really offers the kids some freedom that they seem to really appreciate and love.
Bess, what about you? What do you think is important about time outside for kids and for everyone?
I mean, I'd second everything Kelly said. And I think to add, I think the time outside and outside of a classroom or indoor setting, I think naturally engages all of your senses in a deeper way than I think we can ever fully accomplish just like by reading a book or anything else. Like when you're outside in the forest, you're smelling, you're feeling, you're maybe tasting the berries that you're picking. You can engage your whole body. And I think for a lot of people that creates a stronger sense of connection with the place that they're in, as well as Kelly was saying, as with themselves. And I think that time outside is the best way to kind of activate that feeling.
I think you guys really have a cool job. I really appreciate you coming on the show today and talking to us about Discovery Southeast and all the great things you're doing for the kiddos in our community. We're just about out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we say goodbye today?
Just that, you know, time out in nature is important for everybody. Check out our website for any programs that we have available. We've got a lot of stuff happening. And then I just want to take a second to give a shout out to all the teachers out there this year. I feel like this one has been a really challenging one. I just want to appreciate everything that they do every day. We have a chance to see what happens inside and outside of the school, and they are working very hard, and I appreciate it very much.
Hear, hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Bess, you get the last word.
Gunashish, teachers.
Gunashish to both of you for being here with me today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shelley.
This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. The Southeast Alaska Gay and Lesbian Alliance, or SIGLA, works to provide a supporting social network for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer people in Southeast Alaska, and also zombies. Here to tell us more are Julia Shostak and Abby Spofford. Hello, Julia and Abby.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for being... Hi. Thanks for being here today. You're here to talk about the upcoming Zombie Walk, a longstanding tradition, I would say, around here in Juneau. But first, let's talk about SIGLA. Julia, you're a board member. Could you please tell us what's the status of the organization right now?
Yeah, so it's our Southeast Alaska LGBTQ plus alliance. We were in the 80s as a group to promote continued acceptance and with the public for LGBTQ plus individuals. Actually a functioning 50c3 corporation board now, and we just actually launched our new website. It's asigla.org, S-E-A-G-L-A.org. Our board that's working to put on events. We host a lot of events during Pride Month. With COVID, things have changed a lot. And so we thought hosting the Zombie Walk this year would COVID safe way to get the community together.
Definitely. And Abby, you're a volunteer. What's important to you about supporting an organization like SIGLA?
I think just having more hands on deck to help everyone feel included and help run events and step up where I can. Julia's on the board and I often get volunteered for things, which is exactly my role. So I like to help out where I can. If there's anything that, you know, no one feels comfortable taking on, I'm usually that person that kind of steps in and helps with some of those things.
Wow. Very important role. Very big job. Well, coming up this weekend, Saturday, SIGLA is sponsoring a zombie walk. Now, have either of you ever participated in a zombie walk before? Julia, let's start with you.
I have not, but I am very excited.
And how about you, Abby?
No, I haven't either. But I have dressed up as a zombie before on occasion. So I'm pretty excited.
What inspired you to organize the zombie walk? Abby, let's start with you this time.
Yeah, I'm just kind of stepping in to help. I know the board has been really excited about doing this just to kind of get us back out and hosting events. It's been a little bit of time. We were able to do some stuff during Pride, and then kind of with fluctuating COVID, we've been having great ideas and then they kind of get squashed for the time being. So this one I'm really excited about because it's outside. It's, you know, open to everybody and visible to the community because we'll be walking through town. And it's just a great time of year to celebrate brains.
Julia, what about you? What inspired SIGLA? What was your role in helping to craft this idea for the zombie walk?
Yeah, I mean, I think Abby hit the nail on the head. We've just been really wanting to get back into hosting events the past couple of years now, which is weird to say with COVID, have been difficult. And I think back together as the community, and especially in such a visible way, is so fun. And anybody can come however they like. And like Abby said, we're motivated by brains. So
that's great. Well, what do we need to know if we want to attend?
Yeah, so the event will start at 7 o'clock in the Marine Park Pavilion. We'll be taking a short walk kind of up South Seward and then down North Franklin to make a little bit of a loop back to the park. Everybody's invited. A reminder though that scary costumes are not always best for young children and pets, but if you have children who love scary things, they are more than welcome. The event will be happening rain or shine. So if that ruins your makeup, bring an umbrella, unless there's some crazy big weather event, which says cross our fingers. Like I said, everybody's welcome. We're going to have some fun and to celebrate the Halloween holiday season.
Hashtag SEAGLA Zombie Walk is what you're using for photos posted on social media and for a costume contest, I understand. Abby, what in your opinion are the classic elements of a good zombie costume?
Ooh, blood, ripped clothing, and like some makeup that's really heavy under your eyes to make it look like you've been a zombie for a long time. I think those are pretty key elements.
What about you, Julia? What do you think?
Yeah, I'd add in decaying flesh if you've got some. I would say probably people don't smell good, but I would prefer if people didn't smell bad for the sake of this walk. But yeah, I would agree.
Well, it sounds like a ton of... Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. I hope that people get into it. I saw your loop on the map on the website. It's going to be great. Even if it is raining, you'll be able to kind of duck under some awnings and things like that. It really does go through the heart of downtown. It's a nice easy loop. So it'll be super fun, even if you're in like a crazy costume. So well done, you two. I love the idea of this. I also love the idea of the social media element, the hashtag, the costume contest. You can find out more at akseagla.org, akseagla.org. Anything else you want to share while we're talking today before we say goodbye?
I just wanted to do a quick plug. We're going to be having our annual board meeting coming up this next month, and we haven't picked a date yet, so stay tuned on our Facebook and other social media, as well as the website. And we currently have a spot open on the board. So if you are interested in joining the CEGLA board or have questions about what it entails, please feel free to contact us either through social media or our website, or by emailing akseagla@gmail.com.
Sounds great. Abby, any last words from you?
Yeah, the hashtag CEGLA Zombie Walk, you know, we've got prizes. So even if you're at home and don't feel like getting out and pretending to be a zombie, you can totally go there, peruse the photos, like what you want. And the photo with the most likes and reactions after a week gets a prize. So
that is very cool. Thank you for sharing the rules of the costume contest. And thank you both for coming on the show today, and good luck with the zombie walk.
Thank you.
Thank you.